This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The president of the New York Fed responds to criticism his team needs to be tougher on Wall Street firms, plus how he hopes he can raise interest rates next year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's the job of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York to regulate powerful Wall Street banks. It's not the only regulator, of course, but it's a crucial one. But has the New York Fed become too deferential to the financial institutions it watches over, too cozy? This question moved to the foreground after the public radio program This American Life with news organization ProPublica obtained audio recordings made secretly inside the New York Fed. The recordings were made by a then New York Fed employee who would later sue for wrongful dismissal. Marketplace talked to the president and CEO of the New York Fed about this. William Dudley, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
We all heard some tapes on the radio that make it sound like your team went soft on at least one big Wall Street firm that you're supposed to be regulating. Is that not what you hear on the tapes?
I completely stand behind the work and integrity of our staff. They're operating completely in the public interest, so that'd be the first point I'd make. And second, improving supervision has been and remains a priority for me. When I became president of the bank in 2009, soon after that, I commissioned Professor David Byam of Columbia to come in and do an evaluation of supervision.
He did that big internal report that you got to look at that came out in some filings. Yeah,
that's correct. And I basically told him, go anywhere you want, ask any questions you want, and tell me what you think about the state of play and supervision in the bank. And I think the record will show we were actually quite responsive to the recommendations in the Byam report. We've had a significant reorganization within our supervision groups in terms of how we do supervision. We do a lot more horizontal and quantitative reviews. Examiner independence is completely paramount to how we run supervision. We try to ensure that independence by rotation so people don't stay in the same institution indefinitely. We rotate them every couple of years. But the real key is, you know, look at what we've done. Is the banking system safer and sounder today than it was 5 years ago? And I think if you look at that, you'll see a whole bunch of things that the Federal Reserve System's done to make the banking system much safer and sounder. Higher capital requirements, higher liquidity requirements, capital surcharges for systemically important financial institutions.
Well, here's the thing, though. We study it in poli-sci class, the tendency of government regulators to adopt the values of those they regulate. The watchdogs can become, what were we taught? The term is captured. Now, avoiding capture, I was thinking about this. It seems to me that it's something that you don't achieve once and for all. Isn't it something that you continually have to fight against?
In terms of the bank culture, you know, this is something that you never arrive at your destination of the culture that you absolutely are trying to strive for. And we continue to work to have the best culture in the bank that we can possibly have. When I became president of the bank in January of 2009, I came back to the bank after an FOMC meeting. We had a town hall, and I made it very clear then. In fact, the primary mantra of that address was best idea wins. And we continue to strive to make sure that that is embedded in the culture of the bank.
Now, you saw what Senator Elizabeth Warren said in a statement, quote, when regulators care more about protecting big banks from accountability than they do about protecting the American people from risky and illegal behavior on Wall Street, it threatens our whole economy. And then she and Senator Sherrod Brown have called for a congressional investigation. What do you think of that idea of an investigation, given the stakes are quite high in this area?
It's the Congress's prerogative to investigate. And if they want to investigate, we're going to completely cooperate because we think the facts are very much on our side.
Mr. Dudley is a regulator, but he's also one of the guardians of America's interest rates as a member of the Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee. In that regard, Dudley told me there is room to be patient before he would recommend raising interest rates to thwart inflation.
We're going to be assessing the progress towards our dual mandate objectives, maximum sustainable employment in the context of price stability. Right now, we're missing on both of our objectives. The unemployment rate's high and inflation's low relative to a target of 2%. It calls for a very accommodative monetary policy. Now, if the economy evolves, as most people are hoping over the next year, hopefully we'll get to a point where we actually can raise interest rates in 2015. And I would be delighted if that would be the case.
You would be delighted to raise interest rates if that's the case. Why?
In other words, if the economy is strong enough and we're closer to our objectives, raising interest rates would be a sign of success. And so it would actually be good news.
I saw you said that you'd be willing to let the economy run a little hot. Those were your words, in the interest of being sure that the economy is healthy. What do you mean by that?
Well, we have a lot of people that are currently what are called long-term unemployed. They've been out of work for a very long time. And this is obviously very bad for them, but it's also very bad for the economy as a whole. Allowing the economy to, as I said, run a little hot, it would make it more likely that inflation actually would move up towards our 2% objective. And two, it would pull some of these long-term unemployed back into the workforce. And getting these people employed is critical to the long-term health of the economy, because if they're not employed over the next year or two, they're going to lose their job skills and they're going to become unemployable.
Does this make you a dove, sir, on the question of inflation?
I don't think so. I'm reacting completely to what the Fed's dual mandate objectives are. You know, we're trying to obviously hit 2%, but you know, we're not going to hit it precisely. And so we should be spending half the time a little bit below it and half the time a little bit above it. It's not a ceiling.
Inflation is an odd thing, though. It's often in the eye of the beholder. The Consumer Price Index is telling us there's hardly a dram of inflation. But you know, if you have medical bills or you're sending a kid to college, prices might be going up and your household budget might be under pressure even now.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, I think that people experience inflation in different ways depending on their particular circumstances. And what people are experiencing in inflation is also, you know, relevant to what's happening on their income side of the ledger. If your incomes are rising at a decent clip, then, you know, 1.5% inflation is, you know, very manageable. But if your incomes are stagnant or declining, then 1.5% inflation is a difficult problem for individuals.
William Dudley, President and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
On this subject of inflation, check out the Marketplace Inflation Calculator at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.